we extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to all of our listeners on the second Sunday in Advent. The service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The Bible says that the Christ child was born to die for our sins. What does that biblical teaching mean to you? We'll talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, as we continue in the Advent season, we pray that our hearts may be open to hear your word, and that as you brought the message of Jesus Christ to the world through the years, so may it come dynamically this day. Remind us of our sins. Remind us that we need a Savior. Comfort us, O God, with the truth that our sins can be forgiven and that we can be restored into fellowship with you. Hear our prayer that we ask in the name of that newborn babe of Bethlehem's manger. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel, beginning with verse 1. Now some of you may wonder, why is a text like this being read in Advent? I'll try to tie it in with the genealogy of our Lord. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other one poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." And then Nathan said to David, "You're the man, David. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah, and if all of this had not been enough, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his sight? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your household I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all of Israel." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sins. You are not going to die." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Dear hearers of the word, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we read through the genealogy of Jesus, recorded in Matthew 1, the name of David stands out as one of the best-known members of the Lord's earthly family. Here are the specific words. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of King David. Now just imagine if one of your relatives had been the President of the United States. Would you have mentioned him in your conversation? Let one of our relatives rise to prominence in the national life, and we'd like to talk about him or her. Recently, one of my wife's nephews became a trumpet player in the Minnesota Symphony Orchestra. While we are visiting with our friends who are interested in classical music, we are sure to tell them about our nephew's chair in that very prestigious musical group. A few years ago, another one of her nephews was a ball player for the Kansas City Royals. And whenever we talked baseball, we made sure to let them know about Tom. That seems to be the way it is, isn't it? Well, that's we human beings, and even though our Lord Jesus Christ is sinless, I believe that he had a great tie with his earthly family. and often thought about David and great things that he had accomplished. And probably when he was together with his friends, he would mention David in the conversation. David was a born leader who rose from a shepherd boy to become the reigning king of Israel. He was a gifted musician, and his music often brought peace and solace to King Saul's troubled soul. He was a poet whose poems, known to us as the Psalms, God continues to use in bringing us spiritual insights during our devotional times. But David was a true man, and that meant that he had an inherited sinful nature, which revealed itself in so many different ways. Like all the rest of us, David stood in need of God's grace and the forgiveness of sin. If David was referred to from time to time by Jesus, I think it could well have been one of those nights when our Lord sat around the campfire with his disciples. Don't you think they had those times relaxed just a little bit? They'd had a tough day. They didn't know where exactly they were going to sleep. I'm sure they did a lot of sleeping under the stars. And on this particular night, when they were down near the Dead Sea, they had been in the town of Jericho. And there they had met a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a person who caught the attention of the disciples, and especially that man by the name of Judas. I imagine that could well be because Zacchaeus was an extremely wealthy person, and Judas, the disciple of our Lord, really loved money, so much that one day he even sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Why did the people in Jericho have such feelings of hatred for Zacchaeus? Judas could well have asked Jesus that night by the campfire, just before they were going to sleep. It had been a funny day. And Jesus then told him that Zacchaeus' reason for living was to acquire a large amount of money. More than anything else, he wanted to be an extremely wealthy person. That's not unusual in any generation, even among our own. In order to get this money, it was necessary for Judas to be just a little bit dishonest. For you see, he was a tax collector. And the Roman Empire took a name and said, "We want so much money from this individual. Whatever you can collect over and above this is yours." And Zacchaeus' charges were so enormous that they considered him no more than a common thief who had taken their money away from them. Wouldn't he rather have had less money, but enjoyed the love and respect of his neighbors? Another one of Jesus' disciples could well have asked. And then Jesus pointed out that money was a top priority in Zacchaeus' life. Money was his God. He had never learned that the love of money is the root of all evil. And then I can just imagine one of them saying, "Would you tell us a little bit about that conversation that you had with Zacchaeus when just you two went into his house?" "Sure," Jesus said, and I think it could have gone this way. In the quietness of Zacchaeus' home, Jesus would have talked to him about his sin of stealing from the people. And at first, it could very well have been that Zacchaeus, the tax collector, would have been defensive of his behavior. While he realized that his charges were enormous, they nevertheless were legal. Rome didn't care how much he charged them. They only wanted their fair due. But the longer that Jesus talked about this sin with Zacchaeus, the Holy Spirit began to work, and God opened Zacchaeus' eyes to see what he was doing, to see his life, to see how wretched it was. And then he repented. When Jesus saw his penitent spirit, he was quick to announce to Zacchaeus, "Your sins are forgiven, and you too are one of God's children." In other words, he taught Zacchaeus that he had come to seek and to save the lost. It is strange, isn't it, how we can become victims of our passion? For Zacchaeus, it was money. For us, it might be some other sin that has possessed us for a long time. And for Jesus' relative, King David himself, listed in the chronology in that first chapter of Matthew, one of his great weaknesses was women and sex. Now you could ask yourself right here, what is your weakness? I ask myself, what is my weakness? And probably they would be many. The purpose of the Advent season is simply to point out to us the need of a Savior and then to tell us why Jesus Christ came. You're acquainted with David, who is listed in our Lord's genealogy as a man who committed adultery with Bathsheba, and after that had her husband murdered in order that he might somehow or other cover up this terrible sin that he had committed. When David heard God's voice speaking through the prophet Nathan, he was brought to a state of repentance. "I have sinned against God," he said. And after that confession, again, just like with Zacchaeus, it was Nathan's joy to assure him that God had forgiven him his sin. That is grace. To bestow grace upon us is why Jesus Christ has come according to the Scriptures. Can we live without that grace, my friend? Well, I imagine one could ask, on what basis was David's sins forgiven? On what basis was Zacchaeus' sins forgiven? It was because more than 1,000 years later, Jesus came to this earth to suffer, to die, and to be raised as a sacrifice and as a payment for the sins of all people. Yes, Zacchaeus, yes, David, yes, you, yes, me. This is the same offer that comes to us today in the Christmas message. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Why did he come? He came to assure Grandpa David that his sins could be forgiven. He came to show that old tax collector that life could be different than just a dollar bill, and that he not only had to experience every day the hatred of his people, but that he could enjoy their love and their admiration, as well as to walk in a relationship with God forever and ever. In this Advent season, let us never forget, friend, amidst all of the tinsel and everything else, why Jesus came to be born in Bethlehem's manger and to die on Calvary's cross. The Advent is a time when our hearts are prepared to meet Christ. It is a heavy time. It is a time of self-examination. It should be a time when we pray that God's Word will speak to us as it did to David and Zacchaeus, pointing out our sins and showing who we are and how much we need that Christ child whom we will adore in the carols this year. Listen to the carols we will sing, and you'll see this same message of the need of a Savior. Philip Brooks was singing the Advent message when his carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," included these words: "Cast out our sins and enter in. Be born in us today." Don't you think that was the prayer of Zacchaeus, the prayer of David? "Oh, cast out my sins, God, and be born in us today." Same prayer. Charles Wesley, in that great old hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," says this: "May there be peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." You see, Zacchaeus was not only out of a relationship with the people in Jericho. He was out of a relationship with God. David was not only out of a relationship with those people he had offended with his sin of adultery and murder, but he was out of a relationship with God until they were forgiven. And then they were brought back into that relationship. The time of repentance is necessary if we are going to appreciate the glorious message of God's forgiveness and reconciliation with Him who meets us in the Christ child. As the fire was about to go out that night, and it was time for Jesus and His disciples to retire, one of His disciples might have asked, "Lord, was there a change in Zacchaeus' life after you forgave him his sins?" And then Jesus said, "Don't you remember what he said to the group of people after I had forgiven him? Let me quote them to you once more. 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay four times the amount.'" This is what happens when a person's soul is freed up with the gospel. And that is why Jesus came, to change lives and to make us new people in Him. The Advent season shows us how much we need a Savior and how important it was that Jesus Christ came. In the whole season of Advent and Christmas and the days later, let us never forget, oh, how He loves you and me. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, when we begin to analyze this whole message of the Christmas season, we are so grateful that the gospel finds its roots within the history of human beings. We thank you that you dealt with us in a very realistic way, that you reminded us of how badly we need a Redeemer. That was true as you dealt with David of old. It was true as you dealt with Zacchaeus. And make it true in our lives, O God, today. Help us to see how far away we have moved from what your will is. Perhaps we are not guilty of those same sins as was David and Zacchaeus. But search our souls and help us to see where our guilt lies. And then, O God, may we experience that peace of hearing from you, as David and Zacchaeus did, your sins are forgiven. In this time of the year, we pray in a very special way for those whose hearts are heavy. The loss of a loved one, the loss of health, whatever the circumstances might be. Oh, come to them, Emmanuel. Shower your blessings upon them and bestow your saving grace with each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the music and message presented today brings peace and joy into your life during this busy Advent season. We welcome any first-time listeners to our program today and pray that you have been fed spiritually. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit radio ministry supported entirely by our faithful listening family. As the year comes to a close, we remind you that your gift to our ministry is tax-deductible. We ask for your prayers as well as your financial support. Please pray that our gospel message will reach those who most need to hear these words of comfort and peace. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.